Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Okay, here are 20 things that I believe every man should have by age 40. And by the way, I think I'm going to start here. And what I mean by here is whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on my podcast, I'm going to start my content. God, I hate the word content. Documenting my story on my podcast / YouTube, and then let it trickle into social media, because a lot of times I will start on social media and then go backwards and then try to create something on my podcast or YouTube. And, you know, I've been thinking lately that I like this space. I like having conversations on this giant table in my garage. There's something about me just being in this space that it just conditions me. The soil's very rich in this space right here for me to have an honest conversation. I know that social media can, just because it's so short form, it could feel very pressured. And then I feel like I'm being rushed and I can't just slow down and be myself. Why is this important? Well, I don't know. I feel like you should know. I feel like here's why it's important, because if you listen to me or watch my stuff, I want you to go first to the place where it's most potent. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want you to get the breadcrumbs of me. I want you to go to the well, and that is going to be my podcast / YouTube. My podcast and YouTube, I do it at the same time. So that is where I would like for you to go to get the most honest version of me. And then, of course, if you're on social media, you will see the, you know, breadcrumbs and shorter clips. But I would rather you sit and watch the entire movie, not just the trailer. Does that make sense? All right. Here are 20 things men should know, or men should have by age 40. Number one, and I'm going to expand on these, right? So number one, a purpose or the road to finding one. Now, I know the word purpose is thrown around a lot. You know, here's the thing, our purpose. I don't think that we only have one purpose, right, throughout our lives. I think that you know, it's not like a single road that leads to this giant bell that we have to, you know, hit at the end. We have different purposes throughout our lives, and our purposes change as we change, and that's okay. I mean, if you look at my story, I thought my purpose was to be a screenwriter in my 20s. You know, I spent a lot of time in coffee shops thinking of clever dialogue and creating act breaks, and a lot of time, so much time that I started to disconnect with self. And I thought that was my purpose, right? And then got a divorce, went back to school, became a therapist, and then my purpose changed, right? And I think within the purpose, so now my purpose being to create a dialogue to help other people, and the way I do it, of course, is different. So whether it's a session or running groups or running a retreat or writing a book, you know, there's different ways to do it. But my North Star is to help others and do it by documenting my story. So the approach I take isn't to just tell people what to do or point fingers. The approach is to kind of document my story, you know. Someone who comes to mind is like Anthony Bourdain, you know, who like me was a late starter, late bloomer, and such a great documentarian. And also he was such a talented writer, and a lot of that voiceover taking us on his inner journey. That's what I've been doing for 15 years. And so that's how I would like to help people. And I feel like that's my purpose. Now, within that, there's other purposes, you know, there's other things that I feel line up with my mission that can be more micro than macro, right? So purpose isn't just one thing, right? It's it can be multi-layered, it can change. And I'm just saying that because I think we put so much weight on the word purpose. But by age 40, if you don't have a purpose, I think you should definitely be exploring finding one, right? Number two, your own sense of style. Not based on friends or what you see in magazines. I mean, you could be influenced by what you see in magazines, or you could be influenced by others, but just comfortable with your own sense of style. I want to show you something. Okay, so if you're listening, I have these. First of all, I told myself when I was younger, I would never, especially being an Asian American man, wear sandals with socks. I used to see old people wear sandals with socks, and I would be like, oh, that's so horrible. That's never going to be me. And here I am, age 50. I wear sandals with socks every day. But they're not like, they're cool sandals. Okay, so look at these. Okay, these sandals, I think they're imported from Japan. These are called, pronounce them. But look, one could look at these sandals, and if you're listening, it's a black sandal with a giant. It looks like something that you would wear if you sprained your ankle, right? It looks like either something that your doctor gave you, or like an orthopedic. A friend of my partner Vanessa came over, and she said, "Oh my God, John, are you okay? Are those orthopedic shoes?" And it really offended me, because to me this is fashion. My point is this: I wear these almost every day, not only because they're comfortable, but I think they're cool. They're different. You know, they're not just normal fucking sandals. And as a 50-year-old man, I feel comfortable wearing these. I'm going to rock these fucking sandals. And that's what I mean by style. Now, not everyone's going to like my style. Not everyone's going to like your style. But, you know, you are you. And so I wear things that are comfortable, and things that I just started wearing overalls. And, okay, so this is a great example. I always thought growing up that overalls, you could only pull off overalls as a man if you're like tall and skinny and you're tatted, right? Like a musician, maybe like a surfer guy. And me being kind of shorter and a little more stocky, I thought if I wore overalls, I would look like Super Mario Brothers, you know? So I never had the security to wear overalls. If you buy overalls and you have to cut the length of them, then you can't rock them. You shouldn't be wearing overalls, right? That's what I thought. Well, I bought some fucking overalls, and I bought some black ones. I started wearing them. I rolled them up at the bottom instead of cutting them, and I started getting compliments. And here's what's interesting. I started to get a lot of compliments from strangers, like at coffee shops and stuff, from men. It wasn't women. Men were like, oh, those are cool. I like those. Where did you get those? Now, I think the compliments came from them appreciating these on me, but they, or most of them, wouldn't have the courage to buy them themselves. Does that make sense? And I say that because I was that guy who I could see something and I could say, oh, that looks great on you, but I can't pull it off, or I don't have the courage to try. So I have two overalls now, one black, one forest green, and it's my style. I like them, right? And sometimes I'll wear them with my orthopedic sandals. Okay, number three, good credit. Joe Coy, comedian, has a joke about if you have a small penis, you better have good credit. And good credit actually is better than a small penis, because a small penis can't buy you a house. It's hilarious because I think it's true. Yeah, good credit. I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's just the world. Like, by 40, you should have decent credit so you could buy things. Like, you can, you know, go buy a car or go buy a house. Like, you shouldn't have to use your parents' credit. Because it's not just about the credit, it's the fact that you have been responsible. You know what I'm saying? People with shitty credit obviously have not been responsible. I mean, I don't know, maybe something has happened in their life that isn't their fault, but good credit is earned. You got to pay bills on time, right? You can't have too many hash marks or delinquent payments. And so I think it's telling of one's responsibility / character. Number four of the 20 things men should have by 40. A collection of stories that you can tell a group of strangers at a party or with your grandkids one day. You know, just some, and also not only a collection of stories, but the way that you do it should be good. You know what I'm saying? You've told these stories many times, so you have hopefully learned how to tell them in a way where they're entertaining. You know what I'm saying? So just some good fucking campfire type stories that people respond to that you can pull out of your pocket at any time. And they better be told in a way that is entertaining, compelling, funny, interesting. Number five, a broken bone. If you're 40 and you've never broken a bone, man, that's not a good sign. Especially if, I mean, it just tells me that you are too safe. And it could be a finger, right? You don't have to like break your fucking ribs. Especially if you grew up in the 80s where we were neglected and had no supervision. I mean, everyone I've known growing up has all broken bones. So I broke my wrist. I think it was a seventh grade. It's a funny story. Here's one of my campfire stories. I was playing football and I was chasing after this kind of like pudgy, heavyset kid, and he had a huge belly. And I was trying to tackle him, and I was a tiny guy, right, a runt. And my wrist went into his stomach, and I think because the stomach was so big, it kind of pushed back on my wrist, and my wrist broke in his stomach. I broke my wrist in the guy's stomach, and I remember kind of falling to the ground. There was no pain, just adrenaline, and looking down and seeing like my bone. It wasn't puncturing my skin, but it was making my skin come out. Like, so there was something definitely wrong. And I tried to move it, and I was like, oh, I can't move my wrist. Didn't hurt yet. Picked up my wrist with my other hand, walked home, called my mom. My mom comes home, takes me to the hospital, right? Still not a lot of pain. Like, I can't move it. Me breaking my wrist didn't hurt that much. Held it. Now, here's where it was one of the most painful experiences of my life. She takes me to this fucking Korean doctor. And Korean doctors in the 80s were all shady, man. Dentists, I have a whole dentist story too about getting my wisdom tooth pulled. And the Nike sign from the bottom of my dentist sneaker being on my forehead because he couldn't get the tooth out. Some fucking back alley Korean dentist. Anyway, so my mom takes me to this Korean doctor. I barely meet him. I mean, I'm like 10 or 12. I'm a little kid. He grabs my hand and he starts talking to me to like change the subject or distract me. And he breaks it again. No warning. I almost passed out. I started screaming so hard. Can you imagine a 10-year-old who just broke his wrist a few hours ago is held by someone who breaks it again with no anesthesia, nothing, just re-breaks it to line it up? It was by far the most pain I've ever felt in my life. And I got to say, I think that year got circumcised. I got circumcised late. Because my brother and I noticed that we were different, and we didn't want to be different, and that wasn't as painful. Getting my penis chopped wasn't as painful as the crazy Korean doctor re-breaking my wrist after I broke it inside a chubby kid playing football. All right. Number six, at least 5 stamps on your passport. And as I'm saying this, I'm wondering how many stamps I have. Oh, I think I have 5. You have to go somewhere. You got to travel, you know. I'm saying this because I didn't. I'm saying this because when I was growing up, I thought travel and friends were extra. First, you go become successful. Like, I thought you go find your soulmate, you know, get married, go build a business, become successful, and then you make friends and travel. And of course, in my 20s, I didn't become successful. And so I had no friends, and I never went anywhere. So 5 stamps on your passport. Number 7, by the time you're 40, men, you tell another man you love him. I love when other men, and I've got a couple in my life, like on the phone, we'll talk, and then they say, all right, love you, man. I don't know. I just think it's sweet. I think it's just, I think it's needed. And also, it's hard for me to say. It's funny. I like hearing it. I like when other men tell me they love me. It feels so good. And then I say it back, but I'm not the first person to go. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know I need to change that. It's easier for me to tell women I love them, obviously, than men. And something that I'm working on. I can do it, but I can't be the first one. All right. Number 8, healthy boundaries with your parents. If you're 40 and you have no boundaries with your parents and they're like getting into your life and affecting your relationships, and, you know, like if you're caught in the middle between your partner or girlfriend and your mom, and they're going at it, and you just slip out the back door instead of creating a stance and telling mom, listen, you can't, you know, come over at 2 a.m. We're not going to give you your own key or whatever it is. Then that's a problem. You should at this point have the courage to draw some fucking boundaries with your parents. My dad used to call me, you know, my dad used to page me. My dad's not with us anymore, but he used to page me 911. And then I would call him and I'd be super busy and stressed out. And he would say, I need you to come home to Glendale and change the batteries in my remote control. I can't figure it out because I need to watch Korean dramas. And I did it a few times and I was like, I got to stop doing this shit. And the first boundary I drew with my dad, which activated the shit out of him, was I sent him the voicemail. When I started sending him the voicemail, he would call my dad would call me like 10 times in a row. And I would just watch my phone ring in so much anxiety. And I would force myself, okay, send them the voicemail. Don't answer your phone. And, you know, it took a lot of reps, but I got stronger at it. And my dad didn't disown me. I mean, he would say shit like, well, don't you love me anymore? We came to America for you, right? He would say shit like that. But listen, he got used to it, you know. And then I felt good that I was able to draw some fucking boundaries. No more stopping my day and going home so I could change the batteries of my dad's remote control. If you're doing that shit at 40, come on. Number 9, you should have a savings. You know, you should have some kind of investment or started, whether it's a 401k, or you got to start putting some money away by 40, you know? If you're just living check to check, or you're just spending money and not thinking about the future, it's going to be hard to build trust, right? I mean, it's gonna be hard for whoever you decide to love, for them to love you. Well, because they got to feel some safety, and it's not just about financial, but it's a character trait, right? It's someone thinking about the future. Number 10, jeans that actually fit. I used to wear jeans that never fit, and just feel a little awkward. Have to sit down at Korean barbecue and unbutton my pants. I mean, I guess most of us do, but. A good pair of jeans that fit you well, like a t-shirt as well. Like, you ever see men who wear t-shirts that are like baby tees or too tight and like their midriff is showing and you're like, oh, it's such a turnoff. Your jeans should fit and you should have t-shirts that fit you. Just fit you well. It doesn't matter what your body shape is, but it's appropriate, you know? Your midriff shouldn't be showing. And with jeans, they shouldn't be so tight or so loose that they shouldn't be so loose you look like a teenager, and they shouldn't be so tight that you just look very uncomfortable because you're going to make other people feel uncomfortable. Number 11, speaking of gene stuff it. A healthy diet and an exercise routine, because your metabolism has slowed down by age 40. Listen, you could have a donut once in a while, and you don't have to be like fitness guy, you know? Diet is the thing that I struggle with the most, because I believe in eating a donut on Fridays or having dessert at restaurants, you know? It's quality of life. But overall, you know, you're not eating McDonald's every day. You have you're conscious of what you put in your body, right? And then an exercise routine. And it doesn't have to be hardcore, you know? You don't have to be David Goggins. You don't have to take an ice plunge at 5 a.m. But something where you're moving and you're taking care of yourself, you know? And I got to say, especially once you get into a relationship, because a lot of people, when they're single, they got that diet and exercise, they got abs, they're feeling really good about themselves, they look amazing, they get into a relationship and suddenly it's sweats, and then they're, you know, eating chips, like it's slowly, they just go to the gym less. So not only taking care of yourself with a healthy diet and good exercise, but carrying that over, that doesn't stop, that's for you. You're not doing that for someone else or to look good for someone else. You're doing that to feel good about yourself, right? 12, the ability to parallel park on the first or second attempt. Maybe third, but listen, if you're, you know that scene in Austin Powers where he's trying to turn the I don't know what you call it. He's like on this little vehicle in a hallway. He's trying to turn it around and he's going back and forth like a gazillion times. That should not be how you parallel park. You should have the coordination. You've done it long enough. You've been driving since you were 15. Just a couple times. It makes the passenger really uncomfortable and feeling safe if you don't know how to parallel park. Or like the passenger gets out and and there's like the to get to the curb, it's like 5 steps, right? All right. Anyway, number 13, appropriate shoes. Appropriate shoes, man. Women, do you not agree? I think if you have shoes that are like torn and faded, I mean, unless that's your style, right? Because in LA, if you look homeless, that's cool. But like if you have shoes that are like from 92 and you just don't spend money on shoes, it's like having holes in your underwear. That's what it's like. It's a turnoff, man. So they don't have to be expensive. They just have to be appropriate, right? They just have to match the space that you're in. 14, cried uncontrollably at least once. Look, I don't know about uncontrollably, but just cried. When's the last time you've cried? If you're a 40-year-old man and you're like, oh, I haven't cried since I was 7, that might mean something. You know, it might mean that feelings have been suppressed or you're not allowing yourself to feel. And they don't have to be sad tears. Sometimes we just cry because it was a sad movie. Or joy, right? Cry, you know. I've cried. I'm not uncontrollably, but I've cried dancing with my daughter, just because I have moments of joy, you know. Or she'll smile at me, or you know, and I get all watery. My tears, I get watery eyed. So a good cry. 15, the ability to finish an entire crossword puzzle. And I'm saying this as someone who struggles with this. Now, it doesn't have to be the New York Times on a Saturday. It's just some kind of crossword puzzle. You know, you just know some shit, right? You don't have to depend on Google or AI. By 40, you have lived, you know? You have some knowledge. You know some facts, right? 16, lived and learned enough to mentor someone. So by 40, you're also going to have, because men are attracted to other men, we sharpen other men. You can have some youngsters who look up to you, right? Maybe 18-year-olds, you know, some kids in the neighborhood. You have the ability to mentor them in some way. And I got to just say as a caveat, because I was at the lowest point of my life when I was mentoring teenagers as a counselor working in a rehab. So you don't have to have it all together, quote unquote, to be a mentor, right? You don't have to be rich and famous or successful. You just have to be honest. You still have value and something to give. 17, enough social skills to be left alone at a party. Oh, this one's big. If you're 40 and you are clinging to your girlfriend at a party because you can't be alone, because you don't have the confidence to go make friends by yourself, that is a problem. You need some social skills. You should be able to not only have some social skills at a party and just go, you know, do your shit, but also you should be able to like sit at a diner by yourself and be comfortable with that. You know, I did a lot of that when I was single after my divorce. Yeah, sit somewhere, be alone, go alone to a party. You don't have to be depend, and you shouldn't be like, well, I'll go if you go. I'll go if all my friends go. Just go, be alone, be okay with it. You know, you could also go home early. You know, I do that shit all the time. I never say goodbye to anyone. I just slip out the back. A firm handshake. Oh, this is one of my big pet peeves. If you give me a dead fish handshake, I don't care what gender you are. It's just such a turn off. But especially men who can't look me in the eye and just shake my hand firmly. If it's just a wilted flower, if that's what you're handing me, whoo. You know what I do? I usually kind of joke, but I usually say, come on, let's do it again. And I correct it. I don't just let that go. I think every man should have a firm handshake. It makes me trust you more, you know? 19, the ability to forgive and forgive often. Hey, I said 20, but I have a lot more. I have a lot more. I'm gonna go a little bit longer. Okay, so that was 19. The ability to forgive, because that's an ability you're gonna have for the rest of your life, right? If you can't forgive, holy shit, good luck. Good luck carrying all of that. You're gonna be you can have a lot of tense shoulders. 20 is a rebirth. The ability to have a rebirth, right? Most of us by 40, we've gone somewhere and come back. Our hearts have been broken. We have had to start over, possibly, right? So you've been through a rebirth. All right, here's some quick ones. By 40, you should know how to be metacognitive, being able to think about your own thinking, right? And you should be able to say the word correctly, not like what I just did. What 20% of a bill is without pulling out a calculator? Hey, let me give you a tip. Just double the tax. When you're tipping, just double the tax. 3, how to create a safe space and want to look inward. And you're looking inward for you, not for the other person. You're not going to see a therapist because you were told to. You're going because you want to grow. You want to expand. Looking inward means to examine your inner journey, where things are coming from. Follow the string down. And usually there are things you're not going to want to face, stuff that's happened in childhood, right? To be non-defensive and to look at self and how you are wired and why you do the things you do from a curious perspective and not for someone else, but for you. You got to have some non-negotiables. There's some things that you're not willing to negotiate, right? Oh, this is a good one. You better know how to fucking use chopsticks. There's a lot of people, and I hate to make this about skin color, but a lot of white people who don't know how to use chopsticks. If we're going to have some sushi or go to a Korean barbecue and you bust out a fork and you can't use chopsticks, or you pull that shit where you're like chopsticks and you tie a rubber band at the end and you make them like kitty chopsticks, that's worse than if you do that shit, I'm just going to give you a fork. You know what I'm saying? I know you're trying, but like, come on. And also, there's like Asian foods everywhere now, you know? It's not the 80s. In the 80s, people didn't know how to use chopsticks and understood. In the 80s, people didn't know what sushi was. Okay, it's not the 80s. It's 2024. Hopefully, you know how to use some chopsticks. The difference between making love and fucking and which one is appropriate, right? How to make a bed without having it be redone by your partner. And with this, I'm going to add, because it is 2024, knowing mental load, taking responsibility in domestic labor, not just assuming your partner is going to do everything, right? Taking initiative to do the dishes and know what it takes for a house to be to function, especially if you have kids, and being aware and conscious of mental load and carrying mental load, right? So it's not all on your partner. The art of listening, the ability to understand before trying to be understood. How to change a flat tire. And I gotta tell you, I'll be honest, I was late to this game, but I have, I think only once or twice, I have changed the flat tire. I know how to do it. You should know how to do it. And I know now with the advancement of automobiles, you know, there's all these like, what's it called? There's a run flats. There's a name of tires that you don't have to change after a flat because they kind of, they'll get you to the gas station. It's not, you know, it's not going to fuck up your rim. But you should still know how to change a flat tire. How to cook a good meal without using the microwave, right? At least one. Have one recipe. Learn how to make something, and that's kind of your go-to, right? Even if it's like just pasta, whatever it is. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking, what's yours? It would be something on the grill. It'd be something on the grill, like kebabs or something. I could make a really good mac and cheese with tuna and peas. Also rhyme if I have to. What kind of people do you want to surround yourself and the ability to do it, right? Okay, a few more. Where you're going and who's going with you and in that order, not the other way around, or you'll be going alone. Let me repeat this. Know where you're going and then who's going with you, because if you reverse the order, you'll be going alone, right? I'm saying this because in my 20s and 30s, I always ask myself, who's coming with me? I don't know where the fuck I'm going, but who's coming with me? And no, where are you going? Now, after knowing where you're going, who's coming with you? People want to go on the ride, you know? Friends, intimate partners, doesn't matter. They want to go on a ride. They don't want you to be the ride. They don't want them to be your ride. They want to go on a ride. Does that make sense? Oh, that's good. I'm gonna write that down. Okay. That you were meant to change the world in some way. And of course, this lines up with the passion thing. You're determined to make some kind of dent, you know? This one's from LL Cool J. Man makes the money. Money doesn't make the man. I love it. I don't need to explain that. I just got a few more. Not to wear skinny jeans, no matter how fashionable. You know, there are some people that could pull up skinny jeans, usually musicians. Musicians, if you're in a band, you might be able to, but if you're not, no one can pull up skinny jeans. No man. How to ride a motorcycle. I think this is a must by age 40. You don't have to buy one. But, you know, you've gone on, if not a motorcycle, then a scooter. You've gotten on some kind of machine with two wheels and you've rode that shit and made you feel something. That's it. Okay. Doesn't have to be a lifestyle. You don't have to join a motorcycle gang, but just at some point in your life in the 40 years, you've rode something with two wheels. And finally, how to build something, whether it's a new body, a business, a relationship, a sense of self. You just know how to build something, you know? All right. Those are my 40 things I think every man should have. No. Those are my more than 20 plus things that I think every man should have by age 40. Thank you for listening. Be well.